Good evening to each one. I'd like to greet you in the name of Jesus, the head of the church, the one who said he would build his church. Certainly a blessing to be here with you this evening and, be here with tonight and see the church continue to grow. The work here at Shade Mountain Christian Fellowship continue on. How would it be if we didn't have anyone to take on the leadership responsibilities? Brother Leroy wants to step down. What if we had no one to take his place? And you say, well, there's the others. But what if when they want to, they get old and there's no one? So it's a blessing when there's those who can continue on in the work. As we were coming in here this evening, didn't notice any signs out there for you brethren encouraging people to vote for you. And I don't suppose you had a meeting where you were measuring the candidates and the brethren stood up here, gave a speech and all the good qualities and why the people should vote for them and all the things they would do if they were chosen for this position. I don't think you did that. See, we're part of a different kingdom. Right now, the kingdom of this world, this earthly kingdom, is looking forward to voting for the right candidates to be put in positions so that they can improve things and make things better. We see the signs all over. But again, we're from a different kingdom. And the work of God, the kingdom of God, it's a much greater work than the work of the kingdom of this world. This evening, I'm assuming that some of you brethren are feeling a certain amount of apprehension. Brother Daniel prayed, it's not every Friday evening that we go to service. Well, this is the second Friday evening for me to be in a service similar to this. And I feel different tonight than I did last Friday night. So, but you're feeling a certain amount of apprehension, maybe some fears, some of the anxiety, heaviness maybe, mixed emotions. I'm not sure what all you're feeling. But I just want to say to you, relax. You know, you might be thinking, what if I'm nominated? What if it's me? What if I'm nominated to be in the lot? I just say, relax. It will do a lot of good for you to go through something like this. It has a way of drawing you closer to the Lord, and also has a way of drawing you closer to each other as a couple. And so who of us doesn't want to be drawn closer to the Lord, and who of us doesn't want a better marriage? So there are some benefits. And I think it's good for the church as well. It has a way of drawing the church together as well. This evening, as we look into the message, and I've actually titled the message, Labors Together with God. And I think as we look into this, it has to do with being okay with the will of God and where the Lord has placed us. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he said this, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Before I get into that, I don't know if you thought about what you sang and if you're feeling a bit of apprehension tonight. In that last song, we sang, all doubts and fears for you for future years in quiet rest subside, and naught but blessed, content and calm within my breast abide. And I trust that you can have that peace and calm this evening. So Paul wrote to the church here. He said, we are laborers together with God. I don't know what you think about when you think about, or what comes to your mind when you think about laboring together. I think we know what laboring means. It simply means to work. We could say working together with God. Now here in the Corinthian church, they had this thing going where some were saying, you know, I'm of Paul. Others were saying, I'm of Apollos. Paul says, well, who are Paul and Apollos? They're simply ministers of God who were used by God to bring them to Christ, to disciple them, to nurture them. He said, I planted, Apollos watered. God was the one who gave the increase. We were only instruments being used by God. It's God who gets the glory for what's taking place in their life. So we're simply laborers together with God. And this evening, I'd like to think about you as a church here being laborers together with God. As I mentioned earlier there, Jesus had told Peter in Matthew 16, he said, I will build my church. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How was Jesus planning to build his church? What did he have in mind for building his church? You know, to build something takes some work as well. You know, when they built this church house, I don't think it just kind of came together. You had to work together to build this building. Jesus isn't here today to physically build his church. What did he have in mind? I believe he wants to use us as his followers to build his church. He used the disciples, the apostles, to build his church. He used Paul and Apollos to build his church. He has chosen to use us as humans to build his church. So we're laboring together with God. Now, as we think about laboring together with God, and we think about ways that we can labor together and so on, and how we labor together. First thing I'd like to think about, our laboring together needs to be with God. If we're trying to labor together and doing all these things and God's not in it, it's not going to work. Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He's saying, without me, you can do nothing. You need to abide in the vine. You need to be connected to the vine if we want to be fruitful. We want to have that work that we're involved in bring forth fruit. I thought about Paul before he was a Christian, how that he was very zealous in laboring, but the Lord wasn't in it. He was persecuting the Christians, but the Lord wasn't in it. If we're going to labor together, it needs to be with God. And also as we are laboring, it needs to be together. Paul said in verse 8 there in 1 Corinthians 3, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. He's saying, him and Apollos, they're on one team. They're together. They're working at this together. They're on the same team. And so as we're doing the work, laboring together with God, this needs to be together. Why is it so important to be together or on the same team, as it were? There's something about a group of people as they work together, how much more effective they can be. How much more they can get done. And it's not only in the church. I'm saying a group of people, when they have a common cause, working together, they can get lots done. But we're talking tonight about working in the church, laboring together with God. Together, we can achieve much more. The acrostic for team. Together, everyone achieves more. You've probably been on a ball team, a volleyball team, where someone said, you know, we need teamwork. Or let's have teamwork. Let's work together. And you probably saw how when everyone pulls together, when everybody puts forth a good effort, how much better things go. And maybe you've also been on a team where, yes, you say that, but not everybody's putting themselves into it. And as hard as you try, things just don't go well. Something about working together as a team. Thinking about teamwork, I'm not a horse person, but I have Amish neighbors who farm with horses. And these horses working together can get a lot of work done. Just looking at some things about horses, and I'm sure it varies on the size of the horse and what breed or whatever, but they're saying that one draft horse can pull 8,000 pounds. And that's not dead weight. I think that would be like on a wagon or whatever. So how much can two horses pull? 16,000? Double? Two horses can pull three times what one horse can pull, 24,000 pounds. Now, if these two horses were trained together, worked together before, they can actually pull four times what they can by themselves, or 32,000 pounds. So you think about that, the power of working together as teamwork, and how So much more can get done than if we're by ourselves. Jesus in John 17, he was praying there, and he prayed this in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He's praying that they may be one. Then on down in verse 21, 22. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus was praying. Yes, he was praying for his disciples, but he was also praying for us even today, that they may be one, even as you and I, Father, are one. That's what Jesus wants for us as we labor together. He was praying for the Shade Mountain Church, that they may be one as we are one. Some other verses that talk about being one. In Romans 12, it's talking about the body and so on. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Yes, we are different members, but we're one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:17. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And also in 1 Corinthians 12, where Daniel was reading, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are many members, but one body, together, one. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul wrote this, and he was encouraging them. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's strength in being together, working together as a team, as a body. And what a witness and a testimony it is to the world around when we as a church work together and love each other. Other thing I think about as thinking about laboring together, that we need to be okay with where I am called in this laboring. Or we could say, be okay where God has placed me in the church and what my part is in this laboring together. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Paul said, it's not that important who was planting. It's not that important who was watering. The important thing is that we are doing what the Lord has called us to do. We're fulfilling where he has placed us. It's not so important what we do. Romans 12, 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Not everybody has been given the same responsibility. Not everyone has the same office. We can't all be a bishop. We can't all be a minister. You know, God has given each one different things. In Romans 12, 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Those gifts that he has given you, those gifts he has given me, it's according to the grace that he has given us. Tonight, if you're the one who's called to be the minister here at Shade Mountain, that grace is there for you already. He has it there for you. And in 1 Corinthians 12:11 and 18, Daniel read this, but just the last part of dividing to every man severally as he will and as it hath pleased him. As he wants. That's what the Lord. So tonight, be okay with where the Lord has placed you in the body or in the church. The other thing we think about as we think about laboring together, we need to labor with material that's lasting. 1 Corinthians 3, I'd just like to read. It says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Tonight, as we think about building, let's be building with materials that are worthwhile. And I think the work of the church is a worthwhile work. It's a lasting work. It's something that's important. Let's not be building with those things that just burn up, wood, hay, stubble, but lasting material. I had to think of Nehemiah. If you go back into the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was in captivity. The children of Israel were in captivity, and he heard about how the walls were broken down and Jerusalem was in shambles. And he went to the king, got permission to go with the people and build the walls. And while we were there, they were building. There was opposition. The enemy was making fun of them and saying they couldn't do it. But I'm blessed with Nehemiah 4:6. It says this, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The people had a mind to work. They wanted to work together, and they worked together. And there was times when, you know, they were working with the sword in the one hand and working in the other hand. Somebody was watching out for the enemy, but they had a mind to work. So tonight, as we think about laboring together, one of the things I think about for each of us, be a support to the church. I want you to challenge you tonight, support the church. Support your ministers. Pray for the church and pray for the ministers. Just be a support to them. Question I would ask you, I would like to ask you, just ask this question to yourself. If everyone would support the church the same as I do, what would the church be like? If everyone would support the church the same as I do, what would the church be like? Would there be anybody at church on Wednesday evening or Sunday evening? Because maybe you're better at it over here in Juniata County than a few mountains over. But think about it. What would the church be like if we would support the way everyone would support the church the same way as I do? So tonight we're here because we want the work of the church to continue on. Brother Leroy wants a brother to take his place. So how do we do this? You know, we believe that it's best that it's a brother from within the congregation to fill this call position. If you look into the book of Acts, in Acts 6, when they chose these deacons, it was from among them. It says there in Acts 6:3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So they had this problem there where the widows were being neglected, and they came to them and they said, you know, we need to do something about it. So they ordained these men to take care of the needs in the church that they could go on preaching. But they did it from within. So that's what we do as well. It's someone we know, someone that knows us, not someone that you bring in that doesn't know you and you don't know them, but it's someone from within. So tonight I trust that you've prayed and you've fasted about who the Lord would have you nominate. You've heard the qualifications, probably read the qualifications, and maybe you're prepared to give a name. You've observed this brother's life and that feel that he qualifies for this work. Several things I'd like to for you to think about as we think about being okay, being at rest with God's will. When you give that brother's name, give that nomination with an open hand. And what do I mean? Just give that name and be okay. Be okay if that brother doesn't even get enough to be in the lot. Just be okay with that. As you've sought the Lord's face and He's given you direction. Just give that name and just be at peace with that. Be okay if he doesn't get enough of votes. Be okay if he's not ordained. You know, we don't see the big picture. God sees everything. And I had to think about when Samuel, the Lord wanted Samuel to go down to Bethlehem to anoint one of Jesse's sons. And so he comes down there and Jesse brings out his oldest son. This was to replace Saul. Jesse brings out his oldest son. You know, he would be the fine candidate to be the next king. And they went down through the line. Finally, the youngest, David, who they didn't think he would be the next king. But what did the Lord tell Samuel there? He said, or God sees the heart. You know, tonight, we don't see everyone's heart. And I'm not saying if the brother that you nominate, because he's not, doesn't get enough of votes, or isn't ordained, there's something in his heart or life. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we just need to go by how the Lord directs us, the things that we see and know, and just be at rest. Be okay at seeking and just be at rest with giving that name. And so as you think about, you know, maybe there will be several that have enough of votes. And so what do? We only need one. And so we use the lot to decide. These several brethren may be qualified, and we only need one. So what do? We use the lot and decide it that way. And I just like that it gives us a rest and a peace. We're not saying the lot is the Lord, we're seeking the Lord's will in the lot. But we're just, the church has given these names, these brothers qualify, and we only need one. And this is a way for us to decide that. So I'd like to just challenge you this evening as we think about just being at peace. God is using you as a congregation to direct the future of this church. He works through you. It's through you as a brotherhood that His will be decided. Hebrews 6:10 says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God's not going to forget your labor, your work, your love, whether it's the new minister or a lay brother here. God sees. And there is plenty of work for everyone. A verse I'd like to leave with you this evening in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I want to challenge you tonight to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Where the Lord has placed you in the body, be content there. Be okay with that. Be laborers together with God. Let's stand for a word of prayer.